Guys of a Certain Age is brought to you by no one. Absolutely no one. Except these dudes walking down memory lane. Now let's head to the studio to see what they misremember next.
Well, that music can only mean one thing unless you have it clipped for some other reason. But usually it means it's time for Guys of a Certain Age. I'm Jay Reed here in a studio with
Art Shirley.
And not Robbie.
Not Robbie.
Robbie is out somewhere. He didn't really say where.
I don't
remember
where he was either. I was trying to remember where
maybe,
he was.
Maybe, you know, Atlanta was last week. I don't know. Maybe the coast or who knows. His wife is
next door.
Is
I guess
nearby.
We could probably ask her, but we won't.
Yeah. So Robbie usually has
a mystery.
Well, Robbie is a mystery.
An enigma, if you will.
That's right. Enigma. Right. So how's it going, Art?
Going pretty well.
Very good.
Enjoying the weather. Beautiful day.
We've got some clouds
and stuff coming in. I'm afraid we're going to be cloudy on the day of the eclipse, which is Monday as we record this, April 8th.
Yeah, I've seen some, I heard somebody at work said that like the National Guard was gathering along the lines of where the eclipse was actually going to be the strongest.
Yes.
And go total darkness because so many people were coming to be a part of it. I guess, I don't know, crowd control.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I was like, really? Really?
Yeah. I have some friends that are going to be in Arkansas for it. They're leaving tomorrow.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it would be fun to see. I don't think it would have been on my radar at all had, like, our local grocery store not be selling Eclipse Team T-shirts.
Oh, really?
And you can get the little glasses that you look through. And somebody came, one of my texts came from Sonic the other day, and she got the Eclipse Shake or
of
whatever.
Course,
black,
of course,
the blackout thing. Uh-huh. And it, she said it's pretty good, by the way, whatever for what it's worth. But also got some of those glasses, and so I put the glasses on, and they show enough dark.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I looked at my phone, like turned my flashlight on my phone and looked directly at it, and all you could see was that little pinpoint where the light comes out and barely.
So you feel like it's effective.
Disclaimer,
have you ever done this?
I am not saying that those glasses are safe. We are not, by the time you hear this,
it'll
be
passed. There's an American ophthalmological... what is it?
You're getting more ophthalmological.
Thank you. Society seal that you should look for your glasses. By the time people listen to this, they'll be blind. So, sorry.
But you can still hear and listen to this podcast.
That's right. Boy, that's got to be
just
wrong.
Just don't pay
on
attention
some level.
To it.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, we've got some here at work that we can have to pass out. Some people have gotten those. I think they came from 4-H. But
so did you do, as a kid, did you do like the pinhole camera kind of? Not pinhole camera, but the same idea where you put the hole in the card and then shine it down on another card?
I actually did that. We had another eclipse recently. Uh-huh. It wasn't anything like what we've got now. But And I just did a pinhole in a paper plate and shone it on the concrete driveway,
same.
And
yeah.
it works great.
Yeah.
And then you notice that the leaves of the trees are creating all these same, similar kind of things. So that's probably what I'll do. I do have some of the glasses. The one on 2017, which was the last really big one that we had, we had glasses. And it was pretty neat. I mean, we had deer come out in the yard thinking it was nighttime.
Weird.
Yeah. So
and I guess last
it was
time.
Just, it was not at all. We were not in totality at all here in West Point, Mississippi, or Starkville, Golden Triangle, where we live. But it was dark enough for them to think it was, you know, dusk.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So they maybe have eaten. Did they eat your bushes early?
No, they saw us standing there. So they were like, what are y'all doing?
Something's not right here. All right. Well, what about Geeks of the Week? What you got?
Okay. We've got some casting news.
Would you like to go first? I just kind of threw that
at you. You asked me. So, yeah, what you got? You didn't go, what you got? Oh, sorry. I'm going first. We've got more casting news from the Fantastic Four movie that's coming out. Seems like we get something about every other week we hear something new. And the latest thing is that Julie Garner. I just thought to check the recording, and yes, we are recording.
Okay, well, I looked over there a minute ago. I couldn't really tell, but...
Julia Garner, who's best known from Ozarks, or Ozark, I guess it is. Did you watch that?
Is that Jason Bateman?
Yes.
I did not.
Uh-huh. And I can't remember who all's in that, but people either love it or hate it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a critical success and has done really well.
I like Jason Bateman, so I think I would enjoy it.
I like everybody involved, but... It's just one of those that may be a little too dark. If you were a fan of Breaking Bad, they say you'd like it, which I was, but I may watch it at some point. But anyway, Julia Garner, who's an actress that appears in that, is going to be playing Shala Ball, who is a Silver Surfer. Now, she's not the one that most comic fans generally associate with Silver Surfer. Mm-hmm. She was the partner of Norrin Radd, the original Silver Surfer. Mm-hmm. And Galactus, who has also been announced as being the main villain, which we kind of assumed that. Mm. That's the other news that came out this week.
The Silver Surfer is not a villain, correct?
Well, he's kind of an anti-hero. He is a herald of Galactus, who is an eater of worlds and is a terrible villain, probably one of the big villains in Marvel comic book lore. Yeah, but... So as his herald, he's often assumed to be a bad guy and certainly fights the Fantastic Four in his early meetings. But he's actually a good guy. And the only reason he's accepted being herald was to save his world, which I don't know if that worked out for him or not. Okay. But I don't think it did. But anyway, he's given the powers of the Silver Surfer, which so he can ride this surfboard.
The wave.
And he's coated in some silver protective coating.
So there's a dude underneath the coating, or is the coating become a part of him?
It kind of becomes a part of him. Although you'll see some issues where all of a sudden he's been separated from the coating.
Okay.
Anyway, Shala Ball apparently at some point becomes another Silver Surfer, or a Silver Surfer in addition to. I don't know what they're going to do with the storyline.
Because I read a little bit. She's like fell in love with him and all this, and then he shared a part of something with her.
Well, they were together at first, and that was to help save her and the planet. That's why he became the Silver Surfer.
Okay.
In the original story. Now, it may have been retconned and changed, and I think at this point now, he's shared some of the Silver Surfer energy, and so she has become a Silver Surfer. And they both existed as Silver Surfers at one point. But I think that they're probably going to take the approach that she is the Silver Surfer in this. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they do. And then Galactus...
A little something for diversity here.
Yeah, that's right. Galactus is, like I said, a major, major big bad. And they're thinking Javier Bardem may play him. Hmm. That's been kind of the rumor, so we'll see.
I see
what happens with that. So anyway, both of those are good bit of casting news. We'll see what happens with it.
So did we know there was going to be a Silver Surfer character
in
this?
No, we thought there might be. We thought that they might wait. If they waited on Galactus, probably they would wait on Silver Surfer. But we knew that we'd see a Silver Surfer at some point.
And there was one in one of the earlier movies, right?
Yeah, in the... The Fantastic Four movies that came out, gosh, was that in the 90s now?
I can't recall.
That maybe the early 2000s? I should know. We could look it up, I guess. But anyway, the ones that had Chris Evans as Johnny Storm instead of Captain America, Silver Surfer appears in the second one of those movies.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I knew that.
And voiced by Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, really?
And then he's a CGI character. I can't remember. I'm sure who did the stuff for him. It's the same guy that plays the Fishman in the Hellboy movies. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you have?
Well, I've got we're going to jump universes from Marvel to DC, but still talk another couple who shared something. The new Joker movie, Folie à deux, which we may have said before. I actually looked it up to see what that means, and it means shared psychosis or shared delusion. So it's like this condition where one person kind of passes on whatever their delusions and psychoses to another, which, you know, I don't know how that works, but I guess the idea is that Joker and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
All I could think of was Lady Gaga.
Because they're both interesting names. They both sound like a character.
Not the same, not the real person. But anyway, that was something that they, they're both. Anyway, so that's the name of it. We already knew it was going to be a musical. And, of course, with Lady Gaga, I'm sure it'll be good music. And Joaquin Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix. He's sung in the Johnny Cash movie, so also very good singer as he goes. So I think What I didn't know, though,
uh-huh.
I think Variety called this a jukebox musical. So there's going to be 15-plus songs, and a lot of them are just covers.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's any.
But I saw that term, too, and it was not a term that I was familiar with.
Me either.
But I understand what they're talking
about.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
It's like, as opposed to Les Mis or something that's, you know, that there is no real dialogue. Everything is told through song.
Right.
Jukebox musicals has songs mm-hmm. that fit into the movie, right? So there's dialogue,
I'm
too.
Guessing. Yeah, I'm sure there is. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
I would consider Grease a jukebox musical by
right.
that definition.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is just another, I guess maybe another level of jukebox in that, like, Grease was original songs, where this one is going to have a lot of covers.
Oh, okay. So that's...
So, like, you punch the number on the jukebox to get the song you want that's already being sung.
Okay.
So
that is probably a further clarification or delineation in that time.
Exactly.
So as opposed to... Yeah, so they're actually pulling... And we've seen some of that before,
too. Like, That's Entertainment is one of the songs that's going to be
okay,
in there.
Okay, gotcha. Did you see Across the Universe, which was a Beatles movie? That, again, I guess could be considered a jukebox musical because they took the existing Beatles songs and put them in there as opposed to being original songs written for the movie. Now, granted, they're one artist or, you know, one group's songs, but still they're existing songs that they kind of built a story around.
Yeah. I'm guessing there, I mean, with Lady Gaga around, though, I'm guessing there'll be some original.
I mean, it's bound to be. She's bound to, I mean, there's got to be some, you know, Joker Harley kind of romance theme.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So it is the news this week. In addition to that, it was it did get an R rating. It's going to have all the things that make ratings R, which was
which
the
we
original.
Expected. Yeah, it was.
R2. Okay, so yeah, this one's definitely R as well.
Now, you've seen the original one, right?
I saw the original,
I have not seen the
original. Oh, yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it for what it was, and I think this will be
– Yeah.
Now, I was fooled a little bit because it said the trailer would be dropped on April the 9th, which will be passed by the time this airs. So I went online, and of course, it pulls up first trailer, and I watched it, and it, wow, this looks great. And then under the comments, it's like, y'all know this ain't real, right? This is a fan trailer.
So
I don't know how they pulled all that together.
Some of those fan trailers, you never know, man. I mean, they look as good as the original stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they pulled some stuff from A Star Is Born and the original Joker, but I mean, there were some scenes that looked like, how could this be?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, there was an Obi-Wan trailer that was out for a while.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they apparently Ewan McGregor had played Jesus at some point in some movie.
Okay.
And so a lot of the scenes, I think that's right. Maybe I've got it. Maybe they did it just the opposite. Maybe they were doing a Jesus trailer and he was Obi-Wan and they're showing it. But anyway. So that's going to be good. When's that supposed to come out?
October.
This October.
Yeah, so we got a while to wait.
I need to watch the original one.
Yeah, well, I think you got time.
Okay.
You're good.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. So anyway, so we got two couples today, Marvel couple and a DC couple.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right.
Silver Surfer and Joker and Harley Quinn.
Okay.
So anyway, so yeah, that's big news from the movie.
Yeah, that's real good. Well, I'm going to take a break here. And no, I know. I know, Jay. I know. I'm going to take a break from Greek Geeks of the Week because it's time for, we had to skip it last week. So you're not doing two.
I don't have two. No,
okay,
I don't have two.
But it is time for Jay's Regrettable Segment. This week brought to you by Maxell DVD and CD Lens Cleaner. Yes, for all your lens cleaning devices or lens using devices, trust Maxell CD and DVD Cleaner. Jay, you still have some DVDs and CDs, don't you?
I do.
Yeah,
yes, quite a few.
So what's who's the regrettable hero today, Jay?
Well, first let me read the description of her.
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
And I apologize for jumping ahead of you. I should trust you more. So I think it's important. I think it'll add some oomph to her name if I read you her description. So, a strange, mysterious woman dedicates her life to ferret out the secrets of the enemies of democracy and to turn these secrets over to the nations engaged in a death struggle to keep the light of liberty aglow. This weird, swift, striking character is known as
Liberty Bell.
Lady Satan.
Lady Satan?
Yes.
Lady Satan?
Yes.
I was going with either Lady Liberty or Liberty Bell, both of whom are, I think those are mainstream characters, though, so they wouldn't count. But Lady Satan.
Lady Satan. And in this book, there is no, and I guess apparently even in the comic, there is no explanation
as
to why she chose that name.
Yeah.
So just says she was, this, again, this is, of course, a World War II kind of thing. It came out in 1941. The writer was George Truska. And December 1941, Dynamic Comics number one. She was there for a little while and then disappeared for a few years and came back. And I'll come back to that in a second. But her, instead, her real name was unknown. She was on a passenger liner in the Atlantic that was sunk by a Nazi plane. And she was the sole survivor. And while they've got a picture of her, you know, floating on a beam somewhere. And it says, you know, all I ever loved destroyed by those tyrants. I swear henceforth to devote my life to their destruction. My enemies will feel the wrath of Lady Satan. So I guess while in the water, she chose the name.
Yeah.
And she didn't have, in the beginning, any superpowers. And basically, she fought Nazis while, you know, looking fabulous. So wore this crimson gown and a domino mask.
It is Satan, not Satin, right?
Satan. Yeah, yes, yeah, okay. That's a good point. But it is Satan. So a domino mask was part of her costume, and I had to look at the picture to see what that was.
Yeah, but it's like a Robin mask, but without the nose.
Exactly. There you go.
So actually, Robin didn't have him with the nose either, but, you know, it's, yeah.
So. But that, yeah, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. So she was pretty much just a good fighter, deadly with a garrote. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Garrote. Handy with a handgun. Apparently could fly a fighter plane. Liked knives. She had a retractable blade and a reservoir for fake blood in case she needed to fake a suicide.
Her own death. Yeah,
yep, exactly. And then a gun that shoots clouds of chlorine. She said a dose of chlorine won't hurt them, but actually it does.
Yeah. And she's garroting them, so that's strangling them with the core.
Right. So it's pretty much hand-to-hand combat, more or less, and guns and knives for the beginning.
Okay.
And then she disappeared, came back in the mid-40s, and apparently when she came back, she had some black magic. So she had the Zenda powder.
Zenda powder. That should have been a sponsor. Brought to you by Zenda powder.
That which discouraged over 10 of werewolves.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah. A Tibetan gadget that could help summon shadow people. So she's now turned to fighting evil mystical forces and not just Nazi people. So, so that's pretty much her thing. Didn't say how long she lasted after that. Obviously, she's still not around. And my thought on the whether or not this is regrettable or not, I thought it was kind of an interesting character.
I think so too.
I think it could fly as a, as not redeemable. It's something that could be a series or movie now, maybe just with a different name. I don't think the Lady Satan.
Or maybe that's her code name, and we don't really have her called that at some point, you know, like Lady. But yes, even Lady Satan as a code name is kind of strange.
Yeah. Just,
would you want her with the Zenda power powers or Zenda powers?
I kind of like the original powers.
Original version better. Yeah. Now, maybe she's got gadgets that kind of emulate. Maybe there's not a lot of werewolves involved. But again, kind of some James Bondish kind of stuff to, you know, get her a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see that happen.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it could almost be a Black Widow-ish character.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I would say.
But even Lady Liberty or Liberty Bell, that's almost too much. And Lady Satan is too much on the other side.
Yeah.
So we need a better name.
Lady Satan should be the villain of this piece.
Ooh,
but
well,
yeah.
Okay. But anyway, the premise of it, I think, could work. So I'm going to say not regrettable.
I'm going to say not regrettable, too.
Goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll close up our opening segment.
Yes.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. All right. And we're back, and this is going to be another.
Maybe the crackle's more in your voice than in the.
Maybe so.
Sorry.
My voice can't decide if it likes the pollen or not. And, you know, it's been back and forth, our weather here in Mississippi, which is classic.
Yes.
You know, it's bouncing around. It was. Monday or Tuesday, I think I got up and it was 69 degrees.
Yes.
The next day, 49. The next day, 40. So it's just been a very weird but average Mississippi spring.
Yes.
Yeah, and things are beginning to turn yellow.
And the allergy stuff is just killing me.
Yeah. So job security for the pharmacist.
That's right. That's good. That's right.
So a couple of weeks ago, we had an opportunity. It was just Robbie and I in the studio.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what we were doing.
Yeah. And you know, due to lack of a topic, we just decided that I would just interview Robbie and kind of get to know him individually to kind of see, you know, where he came from and how he got to this podcast. And I thought this morning, you know, you and I when I met Robbie first,
yes,
and he always, because we were both Ole Miss guys, he was like, "Do you know? You got to know Art Shirley. Do you know?" But it was the podcast that actually brought us into friendship.
And, that's right.
I hope anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
so I just thought it'd be fun to interview you today.
I told your mother that, in fact, in my response to her message.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Mutual. so we're just going to kind of start, and I guess last week we went to lunch, and you didn't realize that was a pre-interview when I was.
I did not.
Asking you all those questions.
I was wondering, why is Jay asking me all these questions?
It actually wasn't, but it did help me to kind of. I got the scoop on, you know, you grew up in Mississippi with a slight foray into Hawaii. So
yeah.
So just you basically have lived in Mississippi most of your growing up years, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And oh, then, yeah. Most of my life. We were in my dad was in the Navy, so started out in Pensacola, Texas, and then Hawaii, you know, before I was 1 year old. Mm-hmm. We were there until I was about 2 and a half, maybe pretty close to 3. The middle child, my younger sister, Susan, was born in Hawaii. And nice. So we've been back in Mississippi since then. So, you know, from the time
I was— You lived in Memphis for a little while, right?
3, yeah. Yeah.
Like North Mississippi.
That's right. More Mississippi than Tennessee, for sure. And I stand by that. Yeah, that was after I graduated. That was the first job. And then after my wife, Becky, and I got married, we lived in Memphis 6 years for me, 5 years for her.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then have been back in West Point ever since then, which has been 31 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's long. Okay. Good time. So now you work at Mississippi State. What exactly is your job, or can you define it?
Well, it seems to be.
We're going to backtrack, but I just want to kind of start here.
It seems to be changing every now and then. So I'm kind of, you know, by the time this airs, I may not be doing the same thing, or I may be fired. But I'm the web communications and graphic design manager. I started in web communications, which I had a team of about 3 people working for me. We took care of the website for the extension service. I work for the Office of Agricultural Communications, which is kind of an in-house ad agency for the extension service.
Okay. So that's kind of the name on the door outside the office suite,
right?
Is the ag communications.
Right. And then after I'd been here a year, I took over running the graphics department as well, which is 4 or 5 artists that work for me on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is where you've landed. You started at Ole Miss. You got a degree in what?
I actually have a, let's see, what is it? A Bachelor of Arts in art.
Okay.
So, you know, everything I had to answer was art. What's your name? Art. What's your major? Art. I was looking at getting a BFA at one point, which is a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And that would have been in art with an emphasis in painting, because I was going to did oil painting.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did. It was a great program. We did sculpting and actually got to do some bronze sculpting and carving some limestone, which is very cool. Did printmaking, did ceramics, so did both wheel pottery and sculpted pottery, sculpted ceramics. And then all types of drawing and painting and you know, several years of that. Did some graphic design thing, which was, you know, kind of at the time you figured, oh, well, I don't know that I'll need much of this. And also colorblind, so that was always kind of a difficult challenge for me, because you had to match colors and stuff. None of which we use now. All this was pre-computer.
Uh-huh.
So,
oh, wow, that's true.
Yeah, so none of that matters now. But anyway, that's what ended up changing back to Bachelor of Arts, so I could graduate in 4 and a half years. I went to summer school and took some classes I needed, included second year of French, and I got through.
I tried my best to avoid. I love the French language, but yeah.
I will say I wish I had gone to summer school the whole time I was there. I loved being there in the summer.
Huh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't do much summer school there, but I did. You're talking about the art classes. One of my roommates was not an art major, but he was a great artist and took some classes, and he would come home with stories of what he was in, the things that he was drawing.
Oh, yeah. Did he have the figure drawing class?
He had the figure drawing class. Yeah. And
which in Ole Miss at the time was fully nude. The students were not. I guess they could have been if they chosen to be, but the models were fully nude, and that was kind of a surprise for a lot of us.
he came home with those sketches, and he also sketched on the wall of our apartment.
Oh, okay.
Which made it interesting when he was trying to get our deposit back.
That's great. That's great. And that probably could have been worth some money. Hey, look, this is like a fresco. But I will tell you about those classes and all the other classes. Had some great, great instructors and really, really enjoyed that time. And what's interesting is, after the first, class or whatever in that class, you don't think anything about it afterwards. I mean, it's just another class you're going to. So it's good.
So you have actually used your degree then in your profession, but not just in, like, now you're doing graphic design manager, but you've used it in a variety of different ways since between then and now.
Yeah. So. Now, one of the things that happened to me at Ole Miss that was probably as life-changing as any degree was I got to, and we've talked about this on the podcast many times, I did a daily comic strip from my sophomore year until, I left in August of 1984. I'm not quite as old as Russell.
A strip rather than like a one.
It was not a single panel. Okay. It was a daily like a comic strip, and it ran there right next to Bloom County, Doonesbury, and Garfield. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. I mean, I've still got the newspapers and stuff. In fact, we'll be celebrating the 40th anniversary of the last strip that came out in August. As we get into August 2024, that'll be 40 years since the last one ran. And so what I really need to do, and I'll make a note of this, I need to get together all the original artwork I have, scan it, and put together a book. It's not going to be nearly complete, but it would be something that I could do and do a print on demand kind of thing and let people know, especially those that were there at the same time I was there, if they'd like to see that. So
that would be awesome. Yeah. So you have but the original artwork, I'm guessing, then was not on a computer.
No, like I said, this was before the computer. There were no computers.
Well, even when I was there, the only computer was the computer lab where you went to write a paper.
Yeah. Now, when I graduated in 84, I remember friend of the show, George Abide, had the first personal computer I saw. Well, no, that's not true because we all had trash 80s. He had the first Apple computer that I saw. He had, the first Mac stuff. And I've still got it somewhere. I went over and he was showing the thing and he had MacPaint or whatever it is in there. And I was drawing a comic strip on there. You're just using the mouse like a pen and drawing that. So that was fascinated by I knew that was the future of the time. But no, what I did, the comic strip was done very much in traditional fashion. It was done about twice the size as it would appear in the paper, and it was in pencil and then, India ink, usually a quill pen. I actually, to try to speed things up, I tried to use a flare pen, but the ink in a flare pen is too blue, so it doesn't reproduce well.
Huh.
So what I did was I took the flare pen, took the end off the or took the plug off the end of it and sucked India ink into it and made a India ink flare pen.
Wow.
Which Pentel made. You could get that later on, but it was pretty cool. And, had a black tongue there for a while too. But because a lot of times I was drawing this thing like in the hour I had before I had to deliver it. Uh-huh. The idea would have come and I would go and hastily draw it. Usually drew it, in my dorm room or fraternity room or whatever, fraternity house room, whatever it was. But, and me drawing it at the last minute, getting out.
So you didn't like have a week's worth of.
Sometimes I would. Sometimes I usually had kind of a week's worth of idea. I'd come up with a single idea and find several, at least five different jokes that could play.
That's what I was
going to
ask. Was it like a continuing story?
Sometimes
kind
you'd
of
have
thing,
a one-off thing, but more often than not, you'd have an arc, and so there'd be because that was. First of all, it's more interesting to me to do it that way. And everything could work as a standalone joke, but then you'd have this arc that was telling a story like I had. And this is still interesting to me that I had one of the characters, Ernie Bateman, who was the nerd kind of character of the thing. got a job, and instead of Burger King, it was Tuna King. And the idea that how absurd you would somebody would be selling tuna fish as a thing. And then, of course, now we have chicken salad chick, and I'm going, right. This is like, you know, everything you think about. So there was a whole, but there's a whole thing about that. And then they would also come back sometimes, you know, they would, so I would reference those again.
So was it about students?
Yeah, there were three students. It was called Ernie, Skip, and Joe. Okay. And so you had Ernie, who was the nerd character. You had Skip Hollingsworth III, who was the fraternity prep guy. Yep. Yeah, the prep guy. And then you have Joe. And I can't remember what Joe, if Joe even had a last name. I'll have to go back and look and see if he had a last name. I don't remember him having a last name, but he was the hippie. He was kind of like an older guy that had come back to school and was a hippie. So, you know, I was able to tell stories. Uh-huh. A lot of times they were in there together. And so with each of them having different personalities, I could hit, mm-hmm. hit oh, different yeah. things. Skip had a girlfriend, Bunny, who was I called Bunny Roberts. You know, so much of it was based on what was going on in my life at the time.
Sometimes was when the Preppy Handbook was out and everything
was
very
so that was where they came from, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was brought into the strip. A friend of mine, Rocky Miscali, was working on it with some other people. And they had an artist, and they said, you know, we need a better artist. Can you come do it? And, like, very shortly after doing it, I was kind of writing the whole thing.
Okay.
So I took it that way.
So the characters were developed before you?
Yeah, they had the idea of Ernie, Skip, and Joe. Okay. So they did that, but they just had kind of names, rudimentary names. So the whole I like to consider myself the Bill Finger to Rocky's Bob Kane, and I don't mean that in the evil way that Bob Kane was, but you know the concept was there. So you know, but the life that became the characters, something that did, because like I said, from early on, I I guess I'm not a very good collaborator, but I was just like, just let me write it and draw it, you know. So that's what it came from there.
Okay. So let's stay on the cartoon theme, because that was your start, more or less, I guess.
In college it was, but I had also done one in high school. I'd also done a strip called A Boy Named Francis in high school. That was basically me. George was in it. George Abai was in it.
For the paper in high school?
Yeah, for the high school paper.
Okay.
We actually had there's probably just a handful of those. So we did a whole comedy version of the paper one time that had several things in there. But anyway, yes, we're still going.
Okay.
So I'd done that. And I had drawn comic books ever since I was, you know, 12 or 13 or whatever. Okay. So, you know, I drew different comic book characters always. And my mom will tell you I was drawing since I was like two, because she would take a paper plate and I would draw faces on it, you know, so.
Cool. Yeah. So since then, so you started out in high school and before mm-hmm. you had an established strip in high school.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the art class. We're talking about the cartoon. And then in college, that one. And then you've got since then.
Yeah.
Jack Quasar.
Yes, right.
And
Jack Quasar came about from high school. A friend of mine, the family moved to Long Beach, Mississippi when I was in 10th grade. And I would write letters back to friends. And one of the friends of mine was a guy, Walter McCorder, who we were had read comic books. We're G.I. Joe fan, you know, played with G.I. Joes growing up and stuff. All saw Star Wars together. Mm-hmm. And so I started drawing, you know, pictures, first of all, of Jack Quasar, and then like a page of like what would be the comic book page. And that turned into two or three pages, and he'd get those. Well, he kept all those. And so years later, he brought all those back to me. And so I have all these old comic book pages that I did.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty cool. Well, that's where that character came from. And he was basically kind of a... Sometimes a little bit of a space cowboy, sometimes a little bit of a, you know, a very Han Solo-ish, mm-hmm. Sometimes James Bond-ish, like a secret agent in space. But
and so you have now two additions, right? Or whatever you say.
Yeah, what I did was I took those ideas that came from that and I redeveloped them into more fleshed out stories.
Okay.
And so 12 years ago, I guess it was now, I did the first book, which was a 48-page graphic novel of mm-hmm. Jack Quasar. And it's kind of the initial story that I'd played with. I even did a version of it in college. So I drew one as a college class. And but the story changes up pretty much every time. And then most recently, in fact, I guess it's been about a year ago now, I published the second story, the follow-up story. This is a 24-page story, and it's just a—it's kind of a—it's a tribute to war stories from DC days, but and Marvel too. But it follows the Jack Quasar character. It takes place after the events of the first one, but you don't necessarily have to have read the first one.
Gotcha. Okay. So in between those, well, let me ask you this first. What do you hope to see with that later? Like, would you like to do more of those or just kind of get them out? I mean, I think you can go to Amazon. Where do you go to find that now?
You can go to indieplanet.com and you can order a physical copy of it. That's just happened recently, and I haven't publicized that at all. I need to do that.
You heard it here
first. I'm
doing
it first. That's right, yeah. Anyway, you can go to Amazon and their Kindle store, and you can find a digital copy of both books. And you can look for either Jack Quasar, or you can look for Art Shirley and find them.
Right.
As far as what I hope to do, I keep thinking I want to do another comic book, but it may be something that's in a different genre, like a horror genre or something. So I may not get away from Jack. I may get away from Jack Quasar.
I don't know. We don't want Jack Quasar to end up in the regrettable superhero.
Well, he may be regrettable anyway. But and then I thought maybe I should take some of the stories I've got of Jack Quasar and just write them like it's prose instead of make a novel or a novella out of them and just do that, because the drawing part of it, as much as I love to do that, is what takes so much time. And so I think I could actually spend more time developing a better story and just do that and see what happens with that.
Okay.
So I may do that.
So you've got a website, the Pig Flight?
You can get to it by Pig Flight, or it's flyingpigs.studios.net.
Okay.
Here's an easy way to remember it. ArtShirley.com also gets you there. ArtShirley.com. So that's the easiest way.
Okay. Well, yeah. when I Googled you before I came in, I think the Pig Flight is what came up. And
I should also say I keep wanting to do a movie version of this. I've got this 3D software we've talked about before, and I keep saying I'm going to do a movie version of this, but I haven't.
Well, and then you've also done some, I know, the calendars that you've given us over the years. I don't know if that's...
Again, not strip, but...
Yeah.
They're not that kind of calendar, thankfully.
Right, so they're kind of like...
I can't get through another day of this
one. Is it April yet? Oh, no, it is. Yeah, so you've done some... one-off or one-panel things, many before. Some of them have gotten some notoriety.
Yes.
The Weather Channel one in particular.
Yeah.
And where did is that just you just put do those and put them on your Facebook?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, the single panel thing works better for Facebook for me. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing I did was that the one you're talking about was the Landmass cartoon. It was when a hurricane hit the Gulf Coast, and the Weather Channel, although this has been disputed and you can't find any evidence of it now, supposedly called Mississippi the landmass between Louisiana and Alabama. So Mississippians got irate, and I'm sorry, I can't remember her name now, but someone set up a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did a cartoon on it. Like the night that it happened, I did a cartoon at 2 o'clock in the morning on my iPad. It's one of the first things. It's very hastily drawn, and it's a helicopter supposedly landing at Gulfport with Jim Cantore in it, Weather Channel helicopter.
Right.
Anyway, it took off, and took off in large part because, and I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. I'll try to remember it, and then we'll mention it later. I think I've mentioned her before, but she posted it, and it went big. Well, some other people saw it, and including Ed Meeks from Ole Miss, who was doing HottieTotty.com, said, would you want to do an Ole Miss cartoon, every week? And I said, yeah, I'll do that. So... hoping that exposure would get me something, but unfortunately it never did. But it was fun to do. I did that for a couple of years. So those are started off as kind of, rah-rah cartoons for the football season. He was when Hugh Freeze was starting, and then kind of turned into more of a. In fact, there's characters. There's a lot of Ernie, Skip, and Joe kind of stuff in there because you start to see, more, not necessarily those characters, but more slice of life stuff of my life, as opposed to. So it when the football season was over or basketball season was over, I started just doing just kind of slice of life cartoons. But again, single panel. Sometimes I'd break them up into three, but they'd all fit that same single panel format.
Yeah, and I'll just say, for those who are listening in Mississippi and know, you know, Marshall Ramsey and his work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would put your work right next to it. I think you have some
thank
very
you. I appreciate that.
Marshall Ramsey-esque. Yeah. Uh-huh. The style is not the same, but like when I see your stuff and I see his stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, I put them on the same.
That's high praise. I appreciate
same level.
That.
So
yeah. I mean, because he's you know, incredible, and not just he's not the, you know, just in Mississippi. He's a nationwide, you know, talent. So he's really incredible. And there's a lot of folks that I like that are in there. There's
so who are the influences? Here we go.
Well, comic book wise, you know, doing comic books, we've talked about this before. Neil Adams, Joe Kubert, especially, mm-hmm. Jim Aparo. Those are people I really liked later. There were Frank Miller's Dark Knight. Anyway, those kind of folks are great for comic books. But in comic strip wise, of course, I always loved Peanuts, Charles Schulz. That's mm-hmm. probably where everybody starts.
Yeah.
Doonesbury was really, really big.
I like that.
And I think that George Abbott again and I in high school were reading all the Doonesbury collection mm-hmm. books, and we just knew those back and forth. And
I have a Doonesbury action figure.
Oh, do you really?
I really do.
A lot of the pacing that I have, especially early on, is modeled after Doonesbury. So, I mean, that's this idea where you basically, a lot of times, the joke is told in the third, it's a four-panel strip, and the joke is told in the third panel, and then you have this denouement, this a little bit of an extra joke that comes in right at the fourth panel. Cool. So it hits hard in the third, and then there's a follow-up in the fourth that really, really kind of kicks in. It's very smart. Uh-huh. Doonesbury is very smart. Uh-huh. I would, whenever mine hit and felt like a Doonesbury, I felt like I'd done very well. But I also liked BC. BC mm-hmm. was one of those that by Johnny Hart was one mm-hmm. of those favorite. It's a three-panel strip, and you can kind of see over the course of my work where I start to free myself up from the four-panel thing to three-panel and think, okay, which one has the better pacing? Because even for a static cartoon, you still have to have this pacing in it. Mm-hmm. It still has to have these beats. So you have to be very deliberate in which line appears in which frame to give it this pacing.
It's
and
not
timing.
Just a painting with a caption.
No, it's not. It's not. And even with the single panel ones, you can sometimes do things. You'll have things. You put ellipses in there. You try to give things to put in pauses mm-hmm. because just as in any comedy, timing is what's key.
Right.
So you have to try to build that in. You're a little bit limited in how much you can do that, but you do try to put some pacing in there. George, again, I'll mention him because he's always been probably my biggest supporter in terms of comics and cartoons and stuff, just, you know, since we were kids in high school. And whereas Walter's probably the big comic book guy, George is the comic strip guy. But he always said, you know, your drawing is good, but your writing is what really, you mm-hmm. know, it what really works. And I appreciate that.
Well, you see that here. I mean, I think among the three of us, since I can say this, since Robbie's not here and he won't get offended because he's probably not going to listen to this anyway. But I mean, I think you've got the wit.
Oh, okay.
Just even
half of it anyway.
It's
the knit variety.
There you go. My point is made. So you put that into your writing as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's
cool.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I keep thinking, could I do that in like a novel? Could I mm-hmm. take something and take some of these ideas I've got that I've put in strips, and could I translate that into a story that doesn't depend on images? I've done some of that.
I think you could.
But I think that's where it lies. And like I said, sometimes for me, the comic book thing becomes kind of a hindrance because I want to do that so bad. But my strength is probably really more the humorous stuff.
Okay. I would not disagree. I mean, I like them both. So
I
think you've got a good thing going. I think it's interesting that you've got we're going to wind this up, but
sorry.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I'm glad we landed
As
there.
Robbie would say again, see, it's not just him that's the one that talks. We could be guilty of it too, maybe me more so than even him.
But you've taken something that you've loved since a kid,
yeah.
and you've made a career out of it. You still have it as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You don't seem to have lost any love for it. So I think that's kind of rare in today's world. So we'll close up. This is what I like to call the lightning round. Not an original name.
Oh, I thought we were going to do the regrettable vote on Jack Quasar.
No, it's definitely not regrettable. Okay, we're going to keep it going. So I'm going to name two things.
Okay.
And you're going to choose one just kind of off the cuff. And if you need to explain, that's fine. But basically, this is just fun.
Okay, okay.
All right, so number one.
We have not rehearsed this
before. No, definitely not. Robbie has not, Art has not seen these.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so number one, Marvel or DC?
DC. And Kurt, that's you got to pick one, right? That's what
yeah,
you got to
pick
right?
one. Yeah, you can't.
I mean, I love both, but
yeah.
DC, I consider myself.
We're not trying to alienate anybody. But.
No. I consider myself. I mean, we've talked about this before.
Sure.
I think I'm the DC guy of the group.
Right. So, and I'm kind of in the middle. So, Kirk or Picard?
Kirk.
Ooh. Michael Keaton, Batman. Christian Bale, Batman.
Adam West.
Nope.
No, I'll go with Keaton on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I like, and again, every one of these is going to be like, doesn't mean
there's
I don't like the other
right,
one.
Right.
I love the other one, you know, in both cases. But Michael Keaton would be my pick on that.
Okay. Jack Nicholson Joker or Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
I guess I'm a product of my time, aren't I? Yeah.
Well, I kind of agree. Luke or Han?
That's a good question. Okay. This is the first one that really kind of trips me up, because when... when the Star Wars first came out, I'm sorry, this would be lightning round, right?
I think it's lightning storm.
Yeah. I think I'd go with Luke now. Okay. But like I said, Jack Quasar is basically Han.
Uh-huh.
But when Star Wars came out, when it was Star Wars, mm-hmm. it was the only one, it was very much, are you a Luke or are you Han? Do you think Leia should end up with Luke or Leia Han? And I was very much a Luke guy. Because I like
and
the
in
whole,
hindsight.
I like the Arthurian legend and stuff, and he's basically Arthur with the lightsaber instead of Excalibur. You know, you've got Merlin represented by Obi-Wan. So Luke was my guy on that one. And I still like Luke, but then Han comes out, and I also think it may have had something to do with Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones at some point. Han became more of the guy. But I think ultimately, I'm a Luke person.
Okay. Well, we'll go with Luke for today.
I'm probably not cool enough to be Han.
Okay. Well, now we're going to get outside of that genre. Get into mine.
Food stuff.
Tacos or pizza?
Oh, pizza.
I figured
that's a very close call, though. I love a taco, but pizza is my favorite.
Yeah, well,
that's my favorite food.
You have a pizza oven on your porch, so I figured that was going to be the answer there.
They make tacos in, oddly.
Right. Biscuit or cornbread?
Boy, that's a tough one. It kind of depends, doesn't it? I'm going to go with biscuit.
Okay. All right. Cheese or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Okay.
That's chocolate-covered cheese. Could I have that?
Yeah, and that's definitely situational, but...
yeah. Cornbread or biscuit is one of those that kind of depends on what I'm having. I love cornbread.
Well, the cheese and chocolate question, I heard somebody else do this, and their whole thing was, what they asked
what
the question
context?
Differently.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was, what can you... Name something you can eat that wouldn't be made better by either cheese or chocolate being added to it. Uh-huh. So this is kind of gonna
But more often, if you had a bowl of chocolate and you had some cheese laying there, I'm probably going to hit the chocolate first.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a sweet tooth guy.
Yeah.
I may even change my cornbread answer now, but we'll keep going.
So the last one is cake or pie?
Pie.
Okay.
That was an easy one.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a pie guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely a pie guy. I like cake, but no, pie guy and pecan pie, especially.
Pecan is the number one.
Yep.
Yeah, Melissa brought a pecan pie home from work the other day, and it was just like pecan candy.
I know.
So
it's, just my mother-in-law used to make a great pecan pie, and it's just always been one of my favorite things to eat. Now, my mom makes a chocolate pie, which is great, too, and I need to learn how to make that from her. But I'm definitely a pie person. Like a birthday thing, it's like, you know, give me a pie instead of cake.
I did that once. I have plenty of pie stories, but this episode is not about me. This episode is about
Art. Are we
going
to do one about you now?
I don't know. That's up to y'all, I guess. I can't interview myself. I guess I
think
could.
You could. I think that might be even more interesting than us interviewing you, is if you
just record my own interview.
Yeah.
Do I use voices?
I think you should. So, Jay. Anyway.
We
could do that when we can't get together.
When we can't get together, I'll do my own episode.
No.
Robbie thinks I'm taking over anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
That'll be the last straw.
Out. Good.
And then I'll be off.
Well, this was fun. I appreciate
it. Yeah, well, thanks for being so willing to be grilled.
Did I have a choice? I don't remember really having a choice.
No, well, you said what topic, and I said, here's what we're going to do.
Okay, you are taking over.
Wow. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.